This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by Catalucci Ski Area. Check them out online, Catalucci.com. Get your lift tickets. Make sure you get them before they're gone. If you go during the week, right now, I think the whole mountain's still open. Man, if you can get there during the week, it is incredible. Just ski all day, hardly wait at all on the lift lines, and you're good to go. This weekend, we just had that weekend. I've gone on the MLK weekend before, and it's always packed, so I don't know about this coming weekend. Might not be too bad there. They do have to limit how many people they can put on the mountain due to the North Carolina COVID rules, so maybe it won't be too bad. But check them out online at Catalucci.com. You can see pictures, videos. They got live cameras of the mountain right there. So it's obviously East Coast skiing, nothing crazy, but it's great. I mean, it's an absolutely wonderful way to get the kids out of the house. We love it. Our kids just tear it up now. They come down from the top of the mountain. You can turn them loose a little bit. It all funnels back to the same spot, and you can meet back up with them. It's an awesome family experience at Catalucci Ski Area, online at Catalucci.com. All right, AD Hot Board. We went through the top three that John Bryce put out. We got some other boards I'm going to get to, and you know, if there's overlap, we won't hit the people again, but there might be some other options. He next went to Mark Ingram at UAB. Kind of mentioned him earlier. He was a long snapper for Tennessee in the 90s.
I think he'd be a good fit.
He has major college administration experience from Georgia, Missouri, Temple, and Tennessee. And he's now at UAB. His work at UAB has been really, really impressive, restarting the football program and getting all that going from fundraising to, with Bill Clark and those guys actually winning early. It's insane.
I mean, he'll be restarting our football program.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. He hired Matt Rule at Temple. I'd say that was a pretty good identification and decision there.
I'm going to say that one.
There's a lot.
That one paid off.
There's a lot to like about Mark Ingram if he comes from UAB.
He also just got released by the Baltimore Ravens, so he's free.
Good one, Davey.
Mm-hmm. Different Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got the joke. It just wasn't funny.
Did get cut.
Reggie McKenzie. I'm out on that. No. He's an NFL guy. I just don't want to try and take an NFL guy and have to deal with all the college stuff. I mean, the NFL, you know, it's just done for you. In college, you have to build it. You have to raise all the funds. You have to do all that. I don't know. Other names: Tara Brooks, UT Assistant Athletics Director for Administration.
So just hired her brother.
So this is Doug Bruce. Doug. No, Dan Brooks. Sorry, I kept saying that. I know I was wrong. Dan Brooks' daughter, mm-hmm. Tara.
Shout out Doug Brooks as well.
Yeah. I hope he's listening to us this morning. She's the school's deputy Title IX coordinator for athletics and is a member of the women's leaders, is a member in the women's leaders in college sports. That's a all caps group, not just the words. Brooks is a native of Maryville, and her father, Dan, of course, mentioned him. UT and Clemson, and Rhett just came on board as assistant strength and conditioning coach. So that's another option in-house, I guess. Todd Stewart.
Nope.
What?
Don't want him.
Don't want Todd Stewart. Western Kentucky AD.
Who was his last hire? Tyson Helton.
Oh, yeah.
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 He might be a great fit. I don't know. I don't know
why I was thinking Eastern Kentucky when not Western. But, yeah, you're right. Mm. Yeah. Reed Sigmund is already on. I mean, he's running the ship kind of now probably, mm-hmm. even though, whatever.
If Dondi asked me to.
In fact, Sigmund, who has a diverse collegiate experience, was hired by Fulmer's former enemy, John Curry, when Curry was UT's AD, and yet Fulmer retained Sigmund. So he's highly thought of in UT's administration right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Been around for some of the the cluster, though, right? Like, that's kind of the stench with people that are over there right now. It's like, why didn't you get a handle on this earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what were you doing? It's
right.
It's the Bob and Bob thing again with some of this AE stuff. Yep. If you've already been in Tennessee, what exactly were you doing here while it all went down the drain?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gerald Harrison, Austin Peay. He has Tennessee ties. He's been hailed by David Cutcliffe. So there you go.
Gerald Harrison used to hold the cord for Fulmer's headset.
Okay.
He was the ops guy, I believe, and then the get back coach / extension cord holder for Fulmer.
Well, we talked about, Austin Peay went from, I'd never even heard of really their football team doing anything. They're in their playoffs, and so they've, you know, FCS, they've raised their level there. Jeff Purinton is a guy in Alabama's administrative office.
Nope. Next!
Apparently he's up for big jobs in Power 5 because, you know, how well Alabama's doing. Isn't that just because of Nick Saban?
Yep.
All right. Scott Carter, ETSU. Do we really want a guy that hired Randy Sanders? David Blackburn, MTSU.
Mm-hmm.
Is he back? Did he just have to wait his turn? I don't know about that one. I mean,
we could do worse.
Yeah. He worked under Doug Dickey and Mike Hamilton here. So, there you go. And then Mitch Barnhart.
Nope.
Kentucky's AD. You're out on that, huh?
Nah, Barnhart wouldn't be bad. I don't know.
That's the list.
And then probably some names that aren't on that list that are more likely. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like weighing in on the football coach is one thing. Weighing in on the AD is really, really tough.
Well, it's interesting that Feinbaum said that they basically almost got him.
That is.
That they're working on finalizing the deal.
That makes me think it's Ingram.
Really?
Yeah.
How come Ingram?
Because he's already in the backyard of where Paul's at, and I know they got a lot of connection down there.
Okay.
On top of that, I mean, just his experience in the area. I think that they're hiring the firm, obviously we know that, but they are going to have to get someone that this is a hard reset. And when you look at how he handled the UAB situation, which was, you could argue that this is worse than starting from scratch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because depending on.
You still don't know what you're getting
right.
Whenever it comes from a punishment standpoint. And I know I've kind of been on the stance of, I'm not one to cooperate with the NCAA, and I stand by that because I do think this situation's different in a way because you've already admitted to certain things, not necessarily to the NCAA, but you had the NCAA sitting in on these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They have heard what has happened. So it's going to be hard to not cooperate when you've already brought them along. And so I do struggle with how this is going to happen. And I don't believe being forthcoming with everything that's happened with the NCAA is going to like make them think you're going to be able to get off easier. I think if anything, you're going to get punished harder.
Hmm.
That's just how the NCAA has operated. I don't expect them to change that. It's one of those things to where I do kind of worry about how bad it's going to be from what they give you. But my biggest question isn't how bad it's going to be. It's the timeline in which it's going to take for them to hand it down. Because if this is something that drags on for a long period of time, I think that limits your ability whenever it comes to making these hires, just because that is weighing over their head of like, I mean, this could be a bad decision for my career if I accept. Like, I mean, Lane Kiffin, whenever he went from here to USC, kind of hurt him a little bit with having to deal with all the sanctions.
You just got to sell it. You got to sell it. You got to say, look, Matt Rhule went to Baylor when they were in a worse shape than you are here.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only were they, you know, a mess from the off-field stuff, it was like nasty off-field stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like it was
Bill O'Brien, Penn State.
It was a train wreck. And look at Matt Rhule now. Not only did he have big success at Baylor, historic success at Baylor, but now he was able to go, maybe the coach you hire doesn't have aspirations in the NFL, but Matt Rhule, you know, rebuilt Baylor and then got kind of, I mean, I guess his thing was to get back to the NFL. Maybe your coach's thing is just to stay at Tennessee. And I mean, Tennessee's more of an end destination than Baylor is. It Tennessee has everything you would need to just stay and win big. So you just have to sell it. And you have, and listen, it's just like recruiting. If the person that you're looking at is scared by that stuff, then they're not the person for the job. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the, you know, intestinal fortitude to be able to handle some stuff that's going to come out from the previous coaching staff as you're still trying to coach, then that's not the right person. I mean, it's not going to hurt. It shouldn't hurt their feelings if the NCAA is like, and we just found out that Jeremy Pruitt did this. Okay, cool. I'm not him. Like, we're doing stuff differently now. Just tell me if there's anything I got to deal with, and we'll meet that challenge and beat it and whatever. I mean, it's not rocket science. I do think it's a thing. I don't disagree with you at all, Davey, but I just think you've got to find a person that is not scared by that. And if you find that person, then maybe they're the right one.
I agree, and they might not view it as being scared by it. They might just – it kind of goes for the right guy versus the best guy. And I agree to an extent that you want the right guy, but I would hope that the right guy and the best guy are likely the same person. Mm-hmm. But where we are as a university as a whole, we have really fallen down that totem pole compared to others. And if you're a really good candidate for a top-notch job, you might just say, yeah, I would like this, but I mean, just think, I could have insert premier other top five or top power five job mm-hmm. in a year or two. Why would I go ahead and risk doing that whenever I'm content? Money's not an issue. And again, like, yeah, you want that guy that can view this as a challenge and he wants to take that head on. But at the same time, it's like, I would like for the right guy and the best guy to be the same person, but that might not necessarily be the case.
This is not a very optimistic rant by you.
It is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about
it. Until we know what the NCAA does, let's not cry about it. Let's not worry
I'm not
about
crying.
It.
I'm just saying, like, that's something that these AD candidates are going to be thinking about.
Of course.
I could care less. How many players do you think you could if you have a above average, pretty darn good football coach? I mean, don't you think he could still beat Kentucky and South Carolina and maybe Missouri and definitely Vanderbilt with 76 scholarship players?
Yeah.
At Tennessee? Like, absolutely. It's not that hard. Like, I don't care. Like, I mean, I don't need to beat Florida next year. I don't need to beat Alabama. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt just went through a season where I just didn't even want to watch the games, you know? I mean, if I got to watch – take Rick Barnes, for example. He goes to Clemson. They are – Clemson basketball, awful. It's a straight football school. It's like the inverse of what we're dealing with now, right? Except we are a football school. We're that far down. He got five kids that sucked. There are four kids that sucked, and he had one good one. Freshman class. And he said, you guys are terrible. You guys are awful right now. You're the best I could get, because Clemson is just butt. But together, we are going to take on the ACC. This is like in 1997. I mean, it's the conference, right? It's got Tim Duncan. It's got Dean Smith. It has Gary Williams, who's going to go on and win a national title. It has everybody loaded. And Rick Barnes is like, I got Terrell McIntyre. Everybody told us too short. He can play, and the rest of you guys are terrible. I'm going to teach you to be the nastiest, dirtiest, meanest. He said, you guys are the slab five. We're going to watch Braveheart, and we're going to watch all the battle scenes over and over and over in slow motion. We will not watch the lovemaking. We're speeding through that. You guys are going to be battle tested. Dean Smith was ready to fight Rick Barnes because Rick's team was so clutchy, grabby, like just hard-nosed, tough. I would welcome our football team being slab five level and just annoying the crap out of Nick Saban as he beats us by 17 next year. Give me that, please. I would love it. I would love Nick Saban to complain about how Tennessee tackled his receivers every play and went down the field 5 yards at a time with pass interference, automatic first down. Give me a guy that'll fight. Give me a guy, you know, like,
That's all I'm asking. That's all I think Tennessee's asking for. Somebody that will put everything in. Actually, not just say it, but actually give their all for Tennessee. And then you hit on one kid who they told was too short, and all of a sudden, like, I think the next year, Clemson was number one in the country. Same kids. I mean, like, that guy is our basketball coach right now. And does he have some warts? Is he not good at some things? Not as good as we'd hope at some things? Sure. Is he better at some things than we thought it would be? Absolutely. Like, just at every place, you're going to have some challenges come your way. You might get a guy hurt. You might get whatever. So if it's NCAA, this or that, I mean, who cares? What is a bowl ban anyway? I mean, okay, you don't get the bowl practices. So what? Send the guys the playbooks for the next year. Tell them to go throw on their own. If you've recruited slab five type guys that are willing to do what it takes and you've instilled a culture, I mean, it's going to be 100 to 1,000% better than whatever Jeremy Pruitt was doing over there, because that was the worst ever. Jeremy Pruitt is the worst football coach at Tennessee outside of maybe some guys that I've never heard of before, Robert Nealon. Like, right? I mean, like, think about it.
It's almost like he got worse, too.
He did.
Remember that first year? He's fiery. He's on the sideline. He's kicking. And then this year.
At least trying, right?
Well, tough game out there.
Maybe he's this just weird, strange, like, subtle front runner. Like, maybe once he realized that he didn't have it, he was just done.
Could be.
But because he's not cocky and fast talking and Steve Spurrier, Dan Mullen type, we just didn't notice, you know, because, he just didn't sound that all that different. Steve Spurrier's like, yeah, we're going to whoop your ass. Oh, coach, you just lost a really bad game, and now your team sucks. Yeah, I'm out of here. So it's, like, very obvious when he's out.
Yeah,
you know, Jeremy Pruitt's just like, yeah, we played hard. Yeah, we really played well. Almost got him. We're really doing some good things.
Closing
here.
The gap.
Yep. Coach, you're not whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, and then he just quits working and his bagmen keep running, and it's just a mess. I don't know. I guess I was kind of long-winded with that, Davey. But really, all I'm saying is, yeah, there's always going to be some crap to deal with. Like, can we just please get someone that's at least willing to say, I can deal with it? That's all I ask.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like that, too. And I just, again, this is probably me just putting up my wall, because last time.
Guard your heart.
Yeah. Well, last time it got so low, and I didn't like the decision, but we kind of got so far on our list because we screwed it up so much the first time. Now we're like, all right, here are your three candidates, Jeremy Pruitt, Mel Tucker, and Kevin Steele. And you've gotten two of those, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, there you go. We'll come back with more. Hour three rolls
on. Sportsline has odds on who will be the next full-time head football coach at the University of Tennessee.
Hour three continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw and celebrate. New AD, new head football coach, reset. See ya, Jeremy. See ya, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate all you guys that support us. It does mean a lot. And feels good to be right once again.
My mom was telling me White Claw Hard Seltzer actually makes a fantastic substitution for champagne if you want some bubbly.
There you go. Nice job, Will. Supporting sponsors. Appreciate that. Houston, you said you had a list with some odds on these are coaches, right? Or ADs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, coaches, not ADs.
Who we going to get?
Mm-hmm.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You mean to start at the bottom or the top?
Oh, start at the long. Let's say there's some long shots.
Long odds. Joe Brady plus 2,500.
Let's get him.
Would you take him?
Yes.
I thought so. Bill O'Brien plus 2,200.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Next!
Jeff Fisher plus 2,000. Jeff Fisher currently on Twitter as we speak, begging for this job. Begging for this job.
He is insane, first of all.
Maybe we like a little crazy.
I think.
Do not do it.
Come back. I think I might be able to get on a staff and an analyst role if Jeff Fisher comes here.
Oh, yeah?
Secondly, since we're doing requests, so Shawnee, this is for you. Everyone out there that thinks Jeff Fisher is a good idea, he's crazy. Do not do it. That would be an awful decision. Secondly, Janeway, we're going to get to some Vol for Life stuff tomorrow and give you a guide to how to handle Vol for Lifers in your life. Maybe we'll bump the actual Vol for Life to Thursday for Will. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Jeff Fisher.
Later in the week.
Just because that's the thing you do if you want something from someone. So I think Jeff Fisher would be a perfect hire, and I think you should also bring in Greg Williams.
All right, Houston, back to your list.
Tony Elliott, plus 1,700.
I need a guy who's been a proven head coach.
Fair enough. I agree with you. Well, look no further than Dave Doran.
Oh, going back to the well, eh?
Boren Doran. Do you make the call?
Who did NC State get beat by in the bowl game this year?
Kentucky?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think.
I don't think so. Oh, I can't remember. You might
maybe
be
not.
You might be right.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yes. No on Doran.
No on Doran.
No on Doran.
Doug Marona. Plus 1,400.
He will be your next offensive line coach at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, okay. He's apparently interviewing.
Along with Bill O'Brien. I don't know if you've even said that one already, but.
Yeah, I said that.
Okay, he's going to be the OC there, so.
Not if we swoop in and steal him. All right, Gus Malzahn, plus 1,200.
Well, you'll have to fire Kevin Steele, but.
That's a good point.
You're getting warmer, Houston.
Okay. Bill Clark, plus 1,000.
If it's Mark
Ingram. Those odds would likely increase.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. All right, here we go. The top five candidates. Hugh Freeze, plus 800.
Love it. Would sign off in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I have I have a hard time ranking him with Chadwell.
Okay.
Because they're very different routes.
Okay.
This doesn't really matter anymore, but y'all brought it up. NC State lost 23-21, Tax Slayer Bowl to Kentucky.
Good call.
Yes. All right. Tom Herman, plus 700.
I'm in. There'd be some questions about, you know, getting over the hump, but I think your team, your offense would look competent.
Is he still considered an up and comer?
No.
Okay.
No. Once you get one of the big, the blue blood jobs, this would be a second chance hire. It would.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a rehabilitated hire. I mean, they finished the year like 15th in the country or something. I mean, it's just at Texas, they've established that you have to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, nice return to normalcy if he's cheek-pecking everyone who's coming off the bus, makes it a little bit more normal without the mask and everything.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why they weren't good.
Kisses?
Okay, cool.
No more kisses?
Hook them.
Yeah,
more
COVID.
Maybe more kisses.
All right, your top three.
Yes.
Coming in at plus 500, mm-hmm. Kevin Steele.
Vomit.
Now, this is obviously saying he just gets promoted to full-time, not interim.
Vomit.
Okay.
You think those odds are that high because of the report yesterday that he would be getting a serious look?
Yeah, was it Chris Lowe reported that he will, in fact, be getting a serious look as Tennessee's next head coach? So we fire Fulmer, and we would hire his third-place candidate from when he hired Pruitt.
He might have been second.
Boy, that'd just be a nightmare. That'd just be like wrap your brain around it. Why? What are we doing?
It doesn't make sense if you're trying to get away from that sense of Fulmer and how.
It doesn't make sense to me because he's a defensive coach. We just tried that. Make it make sense.
He's not a proven head coach. I mean, I could go through all the ways in which. I hope Kevin still is able to keep a quality roster intact,
mm-hmm.
continue to get some guys looking at the program to sign in February.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want him to do well in that regard, and I think he could be a very quality defensive coordinator in the SEC because he has done that for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not the guy that I would be inspired to have as my head coach moving forward at the University
of
Tennessee.
I'm with you. All right, your top two candidates with the best odds to become Tennessee's next full-time head football coach. Number two, Jamie Chadwell, plus 400. Sign me up.
I'm in.
Let's ride.
I mean, he might
with
not,
the East Tennessee boy.
He might not be good. He might. He might be in over his head. He might not win big. But I mean, the guy knows how to run offense. The guy knows how to coach for his guys. The guy knows how to take a team that's not as talented and not only beat teams but have them look better. The guy knows how to build a team with some fight. We talked about that last mm-hmm. segment.
They're a little nasty.
Undersized yeah, offensive nasty. Line that pushed people around all year. Completely nasty. Pushed the limits. Crushed what Zach Wilson just, you know. We need it. We need it. It's the only way you're going to compete is to have somebody that's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with people they're not supposed to beat. And that's the only way you get back.
Yeah. The top qualities I believe everyone should kind of come to a consensus on for this next head coach is, one, someone who has been a head coach before and has proven that they can win.
Mm-hmm.
You can alter the level of that. But next, an offensive-minded coach, because we have seen that in today's collegiate football atmosphere, climate, you have to be able to put up points. And then third is just someone who can take lesser talent and win big, or go up against someone and just compete, even though they probably shouldn't be whenever you look at these rosters on paper.
The number one coach, according to Sportsline, Billy Napier, plus 300.
I'd take him, too.
You never said Lane Kiffin.
He was not on the list. I'm sorry. Chris Lowe did say it would be worth kicking the tires on Lane Kiffin if you're Tennessee. I think that's code for, yeah, probably want to at least reach out to him if you're interested at all.
Maybe the books know it's Lane Kiffin and they don't want to lose money.
So
that's
putting out all the names. It's
everybody,
not good. Yeah,
and they're just going to rake in all that cash
and then,
from all the other names.
Boom,
and then, boom, Lane Kiffin.
Kiffin.
They're not even another tab. It's like take the field.
No. Well, there might be, but not. No. Not in this article.
Wait, did you said he frees? Yeah,
you said mm-hmm, he frees. Yeah.
You do have the benefit that no other SEC team is looking for a head coach right now.
No big team. Like, really? Right? You're competing with nobody right now. I think you could get Napier. I don't know what it would take, but you've got the money. I think you could get Napier. I think you could get Chadwell. I think you could get Freeze. I think you could get Kiffin. I think you could probably get Tom Herman. I mean, obviously, I think you could get Bill Clark, Gus Malzahn, Doug Marrone, maybe not Dave Dorn. I don't know. You can get these guys.
Well, we've talked about timeline a lot. We finally got the firing we wanted. Do you expect a certain time to find out an announcement of when the next head coach will be? I mean, I understand it's a possibility, but do you guys expect Kevin still to be coaching at the start of 2021?
No. What are you talking about? I expect an AD to be hired within the week and a coach to be hired.
I'm throwing the question out
the
there. People
week.
Are asking, like, the,
no,
I mean, do you
no,
see
this,
the, got, this interim tag rolling over into the
no,
next season?
You got to go quick. Or if they don't, then maybe we still got the same problems with leadership. But you know, surely they're going quick.
I don't know.
You got to go quick.
I mean, I would love them to go
with
quick.
You, but
I'm with. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what they'll do.
I'd love them to move quick. I'd love them to get the AD, boom. Get the coach, boom. We're good. But I don't know. Davey said it earlier. Maybe some of these coaches are like, maybe. What's the NCAA going to do? Oh, we're not sure. Well, until you know what they're going to do, no. Or you're going to have to pay me $7 million to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we'll hit what Jerry Pruitt's attorney sent over. That part of the story is still not over. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 3 continues. Tuesday edition of the program. We back.
Houston, what did you just tell me during the break? We got to let the good people know.
Florida guard Scotty Lewis out tonight for the Gators due to COVID protocols.
Mm. Or we're hammering the Vols, right? We already were.
I absolutely hammered them last night. Mm-hmm. I have nothing left to hammer.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
I might have $100 in total on this game tonight.
It's six and a half minus Tennessee minus 6.5 on multiple sites right now. So,
6.5.
That line is moving quickly in favor of the Vols, so get on over there.
I got it at 5.5 last night. Hmm. Feeling good.
Feeling good.
And their big man, I forget his name, rolled his ankle pretty bad on Saturday.
Is Jaden Springer full go?
I think so. Might be a little gimpy, but I think he came back in the game Saturday, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all right.
I know, but like with ankles, though, no, that's one of those things that after you kind of give it a second.
Is that the same ankle that he injured previously?
I couldn't answer that question.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's the left one there.
Can't answer that question. Yeah, it was the left one.
I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. That's what I always do anyway.
Oh, he doesn't know.
Find the Jeremy Pruitt with the attorney statement. Have that pulled up, please. This is what Philip Fulmer sent out to all people on the Faltix email thing. After much speculation, it was just announced that Jeremy Pruitt is no longer our head football coach. I can't express how disappointed I am that we have reached this point, but this is the only appropriate outcome. The University of Tennessee standard of integrity must not be compromised. It's hilarious to me that this, by basically saying this guy's a complete cheater, it lets Philip Fulmer publicly, at least, off the hook for hiring a terrible football coach. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to admit that the coach was awful at football because they found him doing, you know,
right,
other stuff.
I have the statement.
Okay, good. As part of the upcoming announcement, Chancellor Plowman will confirm that she has accepted my recommendation. This is like, hey, did Jessica dump you? No, I told her that I thought we'd be better off apart. She dumped you, did she? No.
We agreed.
Yeah.
And it was a mutual decision.
I think Kyle's a better fit anyways. They both get along. They play basketball.
Yeah.
We can both do so much better.
I walked in, and they were getting along real well, and that was – yeah. I will continue to provide leadership until a new AD is appointed and ready to begin serving our great university.
I promise I wasn't cheating at all.
When that time comes, I will step aside from athletics. I'm saddened that we were unable to accomplish all that we had hoped for from a football standpoint. So he did admit that.
Or anything that we hoped for.
But I am very proud of the progress that was made across our department on many other fronts. Like recruiting, Phil?
No, I think he means like, you know, basketball, baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Your extraordinary passion and support. The rest of this is pretty good. I mean, he's just kind of thanking the fans. Yeah,
John Curry's baseball hire is working out really well. Mm-hmm. Randy Boyd paying Rick Barnes is doing really well. Women's basketball, how's it?
The more Philip Fulmer's had his hands in the decision-making, the worse the things have been. It's like a perfect correlation. Anyway, all right, so Jeremy Pruitt responded back to what happened after they made him retape his sayonara video.
Jeremy, this was a little bit too mean. Can you do it again?
Yeah. We're not going to play this one. If you want to try again, you can.
I'd love to get my hands on that.
I would. Oh, my God.
Man, we should have had a player like film it like the old – I used to have movie
I'm sure
songs.
That somebody's got it. Like just maybe it'll come out.
Videoed it with their phone. All right, Davey, what did the attorney say? Read it for me.
This is a statement from attorney Michael Lyons on Coach Jeremy Pruitt. Quote.
Direct quote.
This afternoon, Coach Pruitt learned that Tennessee was terminating his employment for cause.
Gasp.
He is extremely disappointed with the decision, the public announcement of which was made prior to any substantive opportunity to respond before the appropriate decision makers. We believe the decision to be the culmination of an orchestrated effort to ringe on contractual promises.
That's renege, buddy.
Struggling to
ringe.
Tough word.
Yep.
Contractual promises made to Coach Pruitt upon his hiring in 2017 and reiterated less than 5 months ago.
Raise an extension. Ugh.
While the limited portions of the university's self-initiated investigation shared with Coach Pruitt provide some evidence of violations committed by off-field staff, Chancellor Dondi Plowman personally confirmed during an in-person meeting with Coach Pruitt this morning that, one, the university's investigation had yet to have been completed. Two, the chancellor had not yet read Coach Pruitt's NCAA interview transcript. And three, there was no evidence that Coach Pruitt was either actively involved in any alleged violations or knew they were occurring. She further confirmed to Coach Pruitt that no employment decision had been made. Less than 3 hours later, however, Coach Pruitt was emailed a five-page single-spaced letter of termination, the contents of which were immediately leaked to the public. The timing of the university's actions and decision appear to be preordained and more about financial convenience and expediency than a fair and complete factual determination by the university. Moreover, it seems clear the recent leaks to the press are indicative of an interest to steer the narrative in a way that is desirable to the university to justify a decision likely made weeks ago. Coach Pruitt and I look forward to defending any allegation that he has engaged in any NCAA wrongdoing, as well as examining the university's intent to disparage and destroy Coach Pruitt's reputation in an effort to avoid paying his contractual liquidated damages. Despite the apparent outcome-oriented nature of the investigation and the absence of any reliable evidence suggesting any preventable failure by Coach Pruitt in the oversight of his program, Coach Pruitt and his family are thankful for and will always cherish their time with the university. In addition to having made lifelong friends in Knoxville, Coach Pruitt is most thankful for and appreciative of the outstanding young men he was able to coach and mentor.
And pay.
He wishes those student athletes and the remarkable fans that support them nothing but success. I guess that's not us there at the end.
Okay, so listen, what's still up for debate is, did Tennessee handle this the right way? They could have just said, Donnie Plyman or any boy could have got together and said, okay, Jeremy Pruitt, you're fired. We're paying your buyout. We fired you because you're 3-7. Philip Fulmer, you're fired or forced into retirement because you allowed Jeremy Pruitt to go 3-7 and don't want to move on from him. Pay the buyouts, move on, next AD, next football coach, done. Next, right? NCAA stuff, you know, could be put on the back burner. They could turn it in. If they could turn in a small amount of what they found and not dig any further, they could have quit digging and let the NCAA try and dig further later if they wanted to, and just left it alone and just moved on. And really, it's just a numbers crunch and a PR crunch. They took a big PR hit yesterday by having to do all the stuff they did to try and save a few dollars. If they end up having to fight all this and still pay Jeremy Pruitt half his buyout or a third, or maybe they pay him zero buyout, but then they lose a lawsuit or have to settle a lawsuit with Jeremy Pruitt.
Right.
Then, so I don't know if they made the right call on that. I mean, in a perfect world, Philip Fulmer would have just fired Jeremy Pruitt probably, I don't know, what, after the Arkansas game with a bye week, and just said performance, and just, you know, we'd already have our new football coach and he'd already be loading up talent for this next year, and the NCAA thing would just be, oh, and by, you know, it would just be a note 2 years from now. By the way, Tennessee got popped for some violations back in the Jeremy Pruitt tenure. Can you imagine? He was so bad at coaching and they cheated some. Okay, you're going to have 3 scholarship reductions and no off-field, no official, you know, limited official visits during these 2 weeks, yada, 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 moving on, whatever. But no, the Tennessee administration decided this was the way to go. So this is the fallout. This is the part you got to deal with. And I don't know what's right. Maybe this is the best way. But I think it was Philip Fulmer's decision-making that cruxed that whole thing and kind of painted Boyd and Plowman in a corner.
I will say this on Fulmer. Probably last comments on him for a while, but his loyalty is ultimately what has led to his downfall in both coaching and in an administrative career. Not willing to change assistants soon enough in football, and then just being like, Pruitt's our guy, we're going to stick by him.
It's a little of that, but it's also just picking the wrong people, too, I think. Like, I mean, if he just picks a different coach, if he just picked a better coach, Jeremy Pruitt, then the loyalty isn't a problem, because at least that coach gets you through 3 years of you know, competent football, even if it's not great.
It was just that he hired
fair.
An awful coach who just so happened to be awful and cheating and awful at that.
Right.
Did anybody notice that the note that Jeremy Pruitt got said January 18, 2020, which means it could be voided?
No, couldn't be.
Look at it. I don't know if it can be voided, but it said January 18, 2020.
Fascinating.
That'd be something. We'll come back. Final segment of the show. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment of the program. We got Tennessee, Florida tonight. Basketball. The O-Dome.
The new O-Dome. That's really the...
Exacta. I can't. Never can remember the name of it.
Something like that.
Exacta. I don't know. Hopefully, Tennessee basketball will give us some more optimism Tuesday tonight. We'll break it all down for you tomorrow. Florida's kind of reeling. Tennessee, it's a big game and also a take-care-of-business game at the same time, which is weird, but that's the way it is.
Line just jumped another 0.75 now.
Yeah, that's what I got in at.
So what is it?
7.5.
It jumped to 0.75.
Right, it jumped 1 point. It was minus 6.5. Gotcha. It was
minus 118. Which now it's what, one, minus 104? At 7.5?
108.
And so it's even going still.
Okay.
People are hammering the balls. Mm-hmm. As they should.
They're listening.
We try. Try to get the people. Try to make them some money.
I don't have any locks for the NBA. There's only two games tonight.
They're part of the Tennessee is part of my lock parlay.
Oh, yeah?
Let's hear it.
Four teams. Actually, not four teams. Four games. Two teams.
In each game.
Yeah, yes. Two teams in each game. Yep. That's how games are played. Tennessee, minus 7.5. That's what I got in at, so that's what I'm going with. South Carolina, plus 5.5 at Missouri. South Carolina hasn't played a lot of games, but they've looked impressive with the games they've played. Both teams coming off a common opponent. Over 135.5 or 139.5 Seton Hall at Villanova, and over 130.5 Ole Miss at Mississippi State, the Egg Bowl.
Mm.
All right. God, I'm excited to watch some basketball. It feels so much better to watch basketball now that football is like...
Yeah. Yeah.
On the
I just hope that there's not like another COVID cancellation today with this Scotty Lewis news.
No, no, sure.
Is right?
That, surely not.
Was he
the game's tonight?
Did it come out on what he is out as? Is it illness? Is what he's out
COVID
as?
Protocols.
Oh, COVID protocol. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he was just contact traced with a roommate or something.
You know we can hope.
Or somebody in the class or I don't know
something. So yeah, we get that tonight.
His firing was for cause, which means no buyout.
Wow. Patricia says, no one wants this job. You are hatted by the fans before you start. Who
hatted.
Needs that? And now a lose of players' money and scholarships. I'll add in a sad. Hmm. I hatted watching Jeremy Pruitt coach.
Hatted. Hatted all the looses.
Well, I've got a tip for people. If you read Pat Forty and Dan Wilkin as satire, it's actually pretty good. Kind of enjoy it. I don't get angry anymore. It's great. I mean, I know they're completely delusional, so I just actually I don't even click on the Dan Wilkins, but I did.
He blocked me, so I can't read anything.
I did have to read the Pat 41 that Will sent us earlier.
Yeah, if you read like a
mic's off. Yeah, you can.
Classic Will.
Classic Will.
Haha. No, but if you read it like a stand-up joke, it flows perfectly. Did you hear about this? Did you see Tennessee fans? It took back their program, right? January 21st or 2021. Bills have come. Do on I can't read these big words.
Myopic. Bills and come do is those are big words.
No, there's big words after those.
Okay.
Say. Myopic vigilantism.
Vigilantism. That is a big word.
Nailed
vigilantism.
It. Nailed it.
All right, there we go. Myopic vigilantism. That's
that sounds like a disease.
New podcast.
That's not bad, actually.
That sounds like something you could cancel someone for. Like, Nate, get away with me. Your myopic vigilantism is hitting me.
Yeah, you gotta be able to say
it. Vigilantism is easy to say. Vigilantism is...
That's tough. It's tough. Words.
Yeah. That's 40 trying to sound smart.
He does it all the... Every one of his articles is just like... It's a thesaurus nightmare.
What a day, what a day. We were so right. Sometimes I even think, do we really have a finger on this one, on the pulse, you know?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
We're always so right.
I listened to the competition a little bit yesterday to see that hill turn.
How was it?
Oh, it was glorious.
Yeah.
I was like, before it happened, I kind of tuned in because we got that nugget.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's just see how they're going with it. And they're just like, yeah, there's this investigation, but, you know, it is what it is.
And then fire.
And then it's like he's fired. It's like, oh, well, we'll be talking about Jeremy Pruitt getting fired now. So, like, okay, let's go.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Just last week, it's like, he's coming back. This is just a little investigation. Oh, gosh. So bad.
I'll never forget after Dooley lost to Kentucky. There's no way you should fire a coach after 2 years. I don't know why I went to Mel Kiper there. But anyway. And, you know, and then after the third year, it's like, okay, we got to fire him. We probably should have done last year.
Could print T-shirts that just say, like, we were right, and then on the back it says, like, apologies accepted and tips or something like that. We were right.
To all you losers and haters, of which there are many.
We were right again.
We were right, part two. Electric Bugaloo.
I mean, I don't know.
I can't wait to see what comes out today.
No.
I mean, there's going to be fallout for the next, week or so.
Absolutely. Well, we got you covered right here. More local programming than anyone in the market, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Don't miss Will at the end of the day, 6 to 8 p.m. on Overtime. The Blitz, Talk Sports, The Drive. We got it all for you. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.